Hey everyone, this is John and this is the Nintendo, the best Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is something sort of different. I am solo. I felt like doing a recording, and of course Wes is still out of the country. Ryan's not available over the weekend. So what I did was I reached out to the Discord group and just asked for any sort of question or topic that they'd be interested in hearing me ramble about. So this might be a short show. This isn't any particular entry. I think I have it labeled as a mini show, but we'll probably still do our random topic mini show later in the month as well. I just felt like doing something tonight, so I'm reading this totally blind. I went out to the Discord group, just asked for questions and topics. So I have not seen these before. Let's just jump right into it. Okay. Dr. Finkelstein asks, what would you do for, he's got a three-parter here, what would you do for the sequel of the Sonic film? First of all, not make it. But if I'm going to answer, I haven't seen the movie, so I haven't seen, I'm not aware of any sort of plot line or anything. For a Sonic sequel, I don't know, maybe introduce some new characters, maybe get Tails in there. I don't think I'd go overboard. I think it's something that a lot of these character mascot and even superhero movies, they make a big mistake as they do sequels. They start introducing too many characters and too many plot lines. And, you know, something that I've heard people really enjoy about this Sonic movie is all of, like, the nods and acknowledgments to other, like, little memes that the Sonic fan base really likes. So you know what it needs? It needs some sort of appearance or, like, cameo drop or, like, look, just, like, some, like, small thing in the background for Sonic. That's what we really need in a Sonic film, is just an acknowledgement of that silliness. Oh, part two of Dr. Finkelstein's question here is, what other franchise from gaming needs a film? And that's an interesting one, because you see a few, like, pretty successful adaptations here in just miniseries, like The Witcher seems to have some pretty good success, as well as the Castlevania animated series. You know, I'm sure, like, Fire Emblem would make a pretty good, like, ongoing anime series. It's already pretty anime heavy inspired in the way, like, it deals with its characters and its narrative beats. You've seen a lot of Resident Evil films already. Not really ones too much based on the movies. I'd like to see, like, an actual Resident Evil film based on the actual games rather than the Paul W.S. Anderson adaptations, where it kind of took in its own direction. But since Resident Evil's already been done, I'm going to go with No More Heroes. I think that might be kind of a cool one, just like as a balls-to-the-wall action movie with a lot of violence and gore and crazy off-the-wall characters like Travis Touchdown and all the other assassins he runs into. It would need some sort of overarching plot rather than just murdering all these people to become the number one assassin. It needs something with a little bit more impactful stakes there. But I think it has its own style that would be, you know, pretty unique to films. I'm trying to think of who would be cool to, like, direct and star in it. I'm not sure, because, like, you could do something like a John Woo. That's a pretty he does some pretty well recognized action movies. But I'm trying to think of maybe someone a little bit younger to take on this franchise, but I'm not coming up with a name right now. But I think that would be kind of a fun one to have adapted. Like, I guess I'm going in that direction because I'm trying to stay away from any sort of, like, mascot characters, like a Sonic or a Mario, something where you'd have to be reliant on a lot of animation, unless you're going fully animated, in which case, of course, you get away from that. There's something about that, like, blend of live action and animation. That was a cool gimmick, like, back with, like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit. But I don't know, that's the sort of thing that doesn't appeal to me, at least at this point. And part three of Dr. Finkelstein's question is, what is your ideal starting town in Animal Crossing New Horizons? That's a tough one, because I've never played an Animal Crossing game. So an ideal starting town, like, for me, is just kind of starting from scratch, because, like, I get to make it my own thing. And you know, something else that I really like in games is like starting with like a devastated town and having to rebuild it by gathering resources and pumping resources into different parts of the town in order to get them to grow and develop. But, you know, I don't really know what direction I'm going to go in when I get Animal Crossing. I don't know if I'm actually going to try to build a house and decorate it or just kind of go with like the campsite type thing that I've seen in a lot of like videos and trailers where you can just kind of build out from your tent rather than spend a lot of time decorating the interior of it. I don't know. I'll have to experiment and play around and then see what sort of things that I can get with to can kind of manipulate. I'm wondering, because they have like mentioned things like shops. I'm wondering if you're able to like choose the positioning of shops or like animals that move into your town, because I hear that's a part of Animal Crossing is NPCs will kind of come in and you can give them gifts and help them develop their own towns and or homes and stuff. So I'm scrolling through the Discord because there's a couple other topics being discussed as in the same topic thread that I asked for questions. Oh, okay, so here we go. So Jason Lee asks, or says, here's a topic. We all know there hasn't been a regular Direct this year. Could the reason be that between January to June, all they've got planned are Animal Crossing, DLC, and ports? And he mentions Tokyo Mirage Sessions, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, Xenoblade. Possibly. And, you know, I was pretty hopeful that they would do a Direct in February, but with all of the things that they announced, like even prior to like the Pokemon Direct, with or like during the Pokemon Direct, or you know, sorry, let me backtrack. This was like in the Smash new character reveal when they announced like the Fire Emblem DLC specifically. There were a couple other small announcements around that time where I was thinking like these would kind of be cool, like little couple second drops in a Direct. That, you know, it seems like either they've got a lot planned for a Direct or maybe they don't really have a Direct planned because there's nothing really big to go into detail. Xenoblade is an interesting point because I think there's a bit of speculation around when that game is going to launch and like maybe it'll be first half of the year, like before E3, like in April or in May. I don't think it'll be April because of Trials of Mana, but May is a possibility. And I'd be excited for that game to launch early, but I think that if that game were going to launch earlier in the year, I don't know, I would want them to have some fanfare around it, like a Nintendo Direct, but who knows? They're very unpredictable with what they're going to have in their Directs and when they're going to have them. I would hope that they have a Direct before E3, because I would hope they have more planned between now and, you know, June, July than Animal Crossing and Trials of Mana and possibly like a Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, which just came out, the Pokemon DLC, Xenoblade. I mean, there is some cool stuff, but I would like to see one or two more games for like the April to June time frame that we don't know about yet. You know, we don't know exactly when the Pokemon DLC is going to be rolled out. I don't know. They've done this sort of thing before. I think it was early 2018 where they relied a lot on expansions to currently existing games like Mario plus Rabbids and Splatoon 2 to kind of help carry them through the first half of the year. So maybe this might be a slower first half. If I had to pick a side, I'm going to say yes, they're going to have a Direct before E3. I'm thinking mid-March, so maybe in just a week or two here. And they'll have a couple of fun things to announce between like March to July. That's what I'm sticking with. Pure Evil has a couple of topics here. A popular Nintendo franchise I can't stand. I don't know if there is one that just gets under my skin that I don't like. There are some that I don't play. Like, I've never played a rhythm-heaven game. Just because rhythm games typically don't appeal to me all that much. I usually pick up maybe one or two on a system. I think 3DS is probably the system that I had the most rhythm games for, because they had those two theater rhythm, Final Fantasy rhythm games, which were pretty fun, you know, for what they were. Pretty simplistic in the gameplay, but had a lot of really great tunes, that's for sure. I don't really have anything against the more like neglected ones, like F-Zero or Star Fox as of late. Yeah, I don't know that there is a Nintendo first-party franchise that I really don't like. So, games that part two of Pure Evils, games that don't need a sequel. Oh, man. That's a tough one, because I'm trying to think of a game that has come out recently that's just like a singular thing that's not part of a franchise. Mighty Number 9 for sure doesn't need a sequel, because that's a bad game. I'm actually just staring at my game collection on my shelf right now for a bunch of retro systems. So that's kind of what's giving me my prompts here. Zombie U, I don't think needs a sequel. That's a game I never finished, so I can't really speak much to that one. I think Scribblenauts as a franchise is probably done. That game doesn't need a sequel. You know, other than that, I'm staring at my wall again to see if I don't know if like the spirit of the question is like maybe games that are like a good bookend, like they've kind of finished what they wanted to do with this particular franchise and it's time to move on to another one. I think that there are some games that are kind of cool as like a standalone. This is a thing that happened. This was a point in time, and it's not really something that could happen again. I think of things like Little King Story. I see my wall right now. That was a game that, you know, I don't know what they could do with that one, but that was like a collaboration between a bunch of different people from different game development companies at the time. And that's probably not something that we'll likely to see again anytime soon. And I don't think they would need to do something exactly like Little King Story if that sort of collaboration ever happened again. I think of games like something else that comes to mind is like Shadow Hearts, and like the GameCube and the PS2 and a little bit of the Wii were kind of like this moment in time, like the early to mid aughts, where a whole bunch of different game developers could make games and find at least a little bit of an audience in order to be successful. Like the scope of games was much smaller. And if, like a game like Shadow Hearts makes me think of this, because it's a game, I've been playing this, I don't think I've talked about this on any podcast yet, but it's a game that is very small in scope. And pretty much you go like through these narrative beats, and then like every time you go through a narrative beat, it then like puts you into an area where you're having these random encounters and fighting battles. But each like dungeon, so to speak, is really limited, like 3 or 4 screens worth of stuff. I think the bigger ones maybe have had 6 or 7, which is very small in scope. Even when you compare it to its contemporaries, you know, you think of like Final Fantasy X and XII as the big PS2 RPGs, or even some on the GameCube like a Bat and Kaidos. And like these sort of games can't really exist anymore except as independent games. But like on the PS2 and the GameCube and like the early Wii, you could have these games with a much smaller scope that are just an idea for a game that you could find some success with. And Shadow Hearts, as an example, got 2 sequels on the PS2. That's a game that would never have gotten a sequel if it released on like the Wii U or the PS3, a more modern system. That would have been a much tougher game to make and a much tougher game to iterate on. Games that don't need sequels, I think that, I don't like Hyrule Warriors. I think maybe we're done with a Hyrule Warriors like as a franchise kind of thing. I think that's good enough as a one and done. We don't need to iterate on that. Yeah, product number 3, just staring at my fucking GameCube games now. I should move on before I ramble too much anymore. So, Pure Evil has a part 3. And it is, if Nintendo could acquire any franchise from another developer, which should they take and why? Okay. I actually talked a little bit about this one the last time we did a solo show, about the sort of acquisition culture and how that's something that isn't it isn't as prominent. It's not something that's as likely to happen within like Japanese corporations as it is within like the American sort of a acquisition capitalistic sort of corporate culture. But since you're just playing around here, if Nintendo were to grab a franchise from any other developer, I think it would be fun for them to take on. Oh man, that is a tough one, because like my mind first goes to a company like Konami, who's not using their franchises, or at least not using their franchises well. But I don't know which one of those franchises Nintendo could really put their touch on and make something unique and fun. You know, I think of something like a Contra. Nintendo doesn't really do these run-and-gun shooters. So, you know, if someone else were going to make a Contra game, I don't know if Nintendo would be the right ones to do it. Konami's other big franchises like Metal Gear, I don't think Nintendo's the development company to make a stealth action game like that. You know, maybe a Suikoden. If, you know, Monolith wanted to do like a big, like multi-member, like dozens and dozens of potential party member, like RPG like that. I mean, you have something similar, you know, in theory, in quantity anyway, like a Xenoblade 2, where you have just these tons of different potential party members with all the different blades. So maybe there's a little bit of a fit there. So yeah, or maybe like an Intelligent Systems. It might be interesting to see what they do with something like a Suikoden. Maybe not necessarily like a Suikoden Tactics game, because I think Konami tried something like that with very, let's say, limited success back on, I think it was the PS2. As far as, like, well, maybe shift gears to a different development company. Capcom, I don't know, they seem to do a pretty good job of managing all their major franchises. You know, I haven't seen like something like a Darksiders or Breath of Fire recently, but I don't really know that that's something that Nintendo would be the best at doing. I don't know. That's a really tough one. My mind always kind of wanders to RPGs in a topic like this. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe Suikoden is the best answer that I have right now, because I don't think there's anything from Atlus or Sega. You know, unless they were gonna like do a Shining Force, like if a Shining Force game to someone like an Intelligent Systems and make a Tactics game with that franchise again. Although there was that Shining Force. What was it? Resonance game that got ported over to Switch, but that was more of like a straightforward, or more of a traditional RPG, I should say. I don't think there's anything from Square I would want them to take on, unless they like were able to like reconvene and get the, like the Mario RPG series, like get a sequel to that Super Nintendo game. Yeah, anything that I can think of that I would like to see a sequel to. I don't know that Nintendo is the right ones to do it. Like, it'd be nice to see like an Okami, but I think that would go over to Platinum if anyone else should make it. It'd be great to see another Beautiful Joe, but again, if anyone should make that, it's Capcom. Or sorry, Platinum. If it's not Capcom, you know, maybe something like Castlevania would be nice to see another one. But I don't know that Nintendo's the right development company to make like that sort of side-scrolling action game. Yeah. Maybe something in the Mana series. That actually might be an interesting one, because Square has, I don't remember the last time, well, they have Trials of Mana coming out, of course. But as far as like a, I don't know, I guess we'll see how that one turns out before I suggest kicking that one over to Nintendo. All right, let's go back to the Discord group and see what other topics I can get to. Mossy asks, what series or franchise style games do you think is underrepresented in gaming or on Switch or other consoles you'd like to see make a return? Something that I personally find underrepresented are those like the sort of sort of point-and-click adventure type games, and you see like the sort of evolution of these with something like this that that Double Fine does with games like, well, Costume Quest is a mashup between that sort of adventure and a RPG, of course, because of the battles. But something like the Broken Age was a bit text heavy as far as like having to pick the right dialogue trees, a bit more like a Grim Fandango in that way. For my taste, I like the more like inventory management type stuff and using items in the right places as far as those adventure games go. Something like Another Code would be something that would be cool to make a return on a Nintendo system. I would also like to see more RTS games, and those are tough to make work on consoles, but I really like RTSs. And it would be nice to see that those types of that genre represented more on consoles, because it is very PC heavy, of course, because that's the ideal input for those type of things. But I love in RTSs the balance that you have to strike between, you know, your resource management, having to do like your research and your tech trees, and building your army, like, and balancing out like your ideal defense with creating your offensive force, and having to expand and build new bases when you have to acquire more materials to keep on expanding. Like when I play an RTS, I really like playing the long game like that, and just kind of slowly taking over the entire map rather than trying to find the most quick and efficient way of taking out the enemy. So I guess if I were to land on one, it would be RTSs, because those type of games just really aren't represented on consoles at all. Masi goes on. Sorry, I skipped part of his comment here. He says, for example, I love a new Kid Icarus. Also remember a game called Twisted Metal that was sort of an arena like demo derby game. Yeah, I remember Twisted Metal. I have Twisted Metal Black on PS2. And it's a game that me and my brothers had some fun with back in the day. And of course, it was like only two player, because we only had two controllers and two inputs on the PS2. But yeah, it was there were these, at the time, they seemed very big arenas and a bunch of different cars that you rode around with. And they each had like their own weapons and skills. But the biggest thing was like their special. And I can't remember how you pulled off their specials, but each car had like their own sort of like superpower that they trigger when you get these special attacks. For example, like there was that clown. I think he's kind of like maybe the mascot, or at least like the one on the cover of the game that I have. And he drives around an ice cream truck, and when you fill up his special, his ice cream truck becomes like this mech on treads and rolls around like shooting, I think it was missiles. My favorite was this guy called Crazy 8, who's this creepy looking dude, like with his mouth sewn shut. And he had like this old-timey like muscle car looking thing, and when he filled up his special, he could like have like a radio like electric attack around him. Yeah, I don't think I ever beat that game, now that I think of it. It's it did have a single player campaign, but the multiplayer certainly was the biggest draw there. Mossy goes on to say, I remember you guys talking about a skateboard game for Switch coming up that's going to have birds. That is Skatebird, of course, very aptly named. Games like Cool Border or Wave Racer. I'd love to see more games like Road Redemption on Switch. I think Sega's Road Rash. I don't know Road Redemption. I'm not familiar with that one. If it's Sega Road Rash, I'm not super familiar with either. But if I remember correctly, it's kind of like an arcade. Kind of like almost maybe like a Burnout, for the lack of better example. Like racing games are definitely not my strong suit. So I'm not I'm definitely not an expert on that particular subject. The snowboard games really disappeared, didn't they? Because, you know, there's from like the late 90s, like mid N64, until, I don't know, probably the GameCube PS2 generation, there were, you know, pretty significant or steady releases of snowboarding games between like SSX, and like 1080 even got a sequel on the GameCube. Of course, you had a couple of snowboard games from Atlas on the N64. Like, yeah, snowboarding used to be a thing. Like, I think Shaun White had a snowboarding game. I think that was Wii, though, and that was kind of like an outlier. Like, it was kind of a novelty that a snowboarding game was being released on the Wii, and I think that did eventually come to other systems, possibly? Question mark? Well, that's an interesting kind of a disappearance of a genre, because like it's sort of a racing game, but more of like an obstacle based racing game, because you're not like making laps. It's just like finding your most efficient route down this like bespoke level, down this mountain, and not necessarily trying to like outmaneuver your opponents, but just find a way to get like the fastest time down there. And I always thought something like that could work for something like a Sonic game, where you could put the emphasis on finding your fastest track rather than the emphasis on like just kind of like these cinematic press forward and hit the springs and then you win, which is something about Sonic Adventure that I didn't particularly enjoy, because a lot of the times like you're just kind of like watching these levels happen, and even when they try to interrupt you with these challenges, like they're just kind of like these surprise things you have to memorize where they are. So it's weird, because it's kind of like this conflicted ideologies, because I think that they should be giving you like these different routes to explore or reward you for not just like holding forward and hitting the springs to win. But I also think that putting obstacles in your way disrupts the flow, and breaking your momentum in a Sonic game, I think, is bad. So I think you have to find this balance between not putting obstacles, but putting lures to kind of try to draw players to different paths rather than sticking to like the main path on the ground. I think that, and I think like a snowboarding style game, like a downhill racing thing like that, could work really well for Sonic. Anyway, I've gotten off topic here. I think that is it for all of the Discord group comments and questions. So, got some good ones in there. Thanks for contributing, guys. Thanks for giving me something to ramble about for a few minutes here. Me and Ryan will be back recording on Tuesday. I think we've agreed to meet up, and we'll be doing a Pokemon show. We're going to discuss a lot of Pokemon Home and probably a little bit of the goings on with Pokemon Sword and Shield. And I looked at my file. I do have this labeled as a mini show. So we'll probably still do a mini show where we can just discuss any random topic we feel like talking about, or any random game we feel like talking about. But I think we're going to put a higher priority on the retro show. So I think we'll probably end up doing the retro show before we do another mini show this month. And then we'll wrap it all up with the official show at the end. And hopefully Wes will be back by then, because I think he is due back in the country at some point this month. So thanks again for all of the questions and comments and topics. Till next time, everybody.